Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Thanks for tuning in to Abiding in Christ. On the program today, we have the conclusion of a segment that we began last time. Our hope is that you'll find it challenging and informative, and that you'll listen to it with the knowledge that you can have full confidence in Christ, trusting Him as Savior and Lord. We also ask that as you listen, you prayerfully consider coming alongside Ware's Valley Ranch and supporting this ministry to children in crisis through a tax-deductible donation. To find out more about how you can help, call us at 866-41-ABIDE or visit us online at wvr.org. Again, thanks for listening, and now we join the broadcast. One of the things that you will encounter is it's an evidence that you are not leaving and cleaving like you're supposed to, is when you will make unfair comparisons, okay? And I'm telling you, my wife and I both experienced this early in our marriage. I occasionally, in my really stupid younger years, would say things like, "Well, my mom always da-da-da-da-da." See, you immediately see the dark cloud that has just appeared in the room, okay? Because when you say that, that is, write this down, an unfair comparison, okay? It's an unfair comparison. When you catch yourself making unfair comparisons, you need to repent. You're still holding on to this artificial standard that says you're supposed to be like this. I was a pastor. My dad was a pastor. My mom always got all the kids ready for church. Dad didn't have to do that. Dad was busy being a pastor. And so on Sunday morning, mom is supposed to get all the kids ready. My wife, early on, seemed to think sometimes that I ought to help. Imagine. And so I'm thinking, well, my mom had four kids to get ready for church. Okay. Never mind the fact that our kids were real close together. My parents' kids were 4 years apart. Okay. My parents had my oldest brother. 4 years later, they had my sister. 4 years later, they had my other brother. And 6 years later, they had me. See, my parents felt that on Dad's limited salary, it would be difficult to put the kids through college at the same time. So they would have, this is true, they actually planned this. My parents were very disciplined. And so they had my brother, and 4 years later they had my sister, and 4 years later they had my other brother, and then 4 years later mom had a miscarriage, followed by another miscarriage, and then me. Okay? They said they wanted four kids, 4 years apart each. They pretty much achieved their goal and still couldn't afford to put us through college. We all went, but mom and dad weren't able to pay for it. Now, here's the thing. My wife had three kids, less than 21 months apart as far as the distance between each one. The middle child is an exact middle child to the day, literally.
Not planned.
That was not discipline planning on our part. That was like, wow. But the oldest of those three had severe medical issues and needed a ton of extra care. So for me to just waltz out of the house thinking, I'll see you at church, not good, not loving, not gracious. I had expectations of her. She had expectations of me. Neither of our sets of expectations matched reality. Okay? And so what I had to learn to do, and she had to learn to do, was to leave that ideal set of expectations that we're trying to make our mate live up to. Okay? I had to repent of that. And when you catch yourself making that mistake, I want to give you four key phrases that can make all the difference in restoring your relationship with your spouse. Okay? And it turns out these are useful in other settings too, not only other settings in your marriage, but other settings in life, in dealing with your kids, in dealing with your coworkers, in dealing with your employer, in dealing with your employees, all kinds of people. These four key phrases are really, really helpful. All right? So are you ready? Phrase number one, I'm sorry. You know, there are some people who just choke on those words. She said, including me. Okay? I mean, that was something you didn't say in her family growing up. You just don't say, I'm sorry. You're admitting guilt. You're acting as if it's your fault. And it may not be your fault. Or it may be your fault, but you don't want to admit it. So you don't say, I'm sorry. You just don't say, I'm sorry. Yes, you do. All right? Phrase number one is, I'm sorry. Now, that is not an admission of guilt. I frequently encounter people who have had some misfortune, and I say, oh, I'm sorry. And they say, well, it's not your fault. To which my response internally, if not spoken, is, I know that. Okay? I didn't say, oh, my bad. I said, I'm sorry, which means it saddens me to see you suffer. I care about your pain. So if a person flips out at you and accuses you of a ton of stuff that you know good and well you didn't do, it is still totally appropriate to say to them, I'm so sorry. What are you sorry about? I mean, why would you say that? Do you like having people flip out and think you've done a bunch of bad stuff? No? Well, then be sorry. Okay? You don't have to say, I apologize. You just say, I'm sorry. You can even say, I'm sorry you feel that way. Well, I'm so sorry that happened. You are sorry it happened. Okay? I want us to practice that phrase together. For some of you, this is easy. For some of you, it's going to be like, well, as long as he knows I don't mean it, I'm just doing the exercise. All right? Here we go. Let's try it together on three. One, two, three. I'm sorry. That was good. Let's try that again. One, two, three. I'm sorry. Okay. Now, see, if you can say I'm sorry, it is amazing. It is amazing how that pours oil on the water for a lot of folks. Okay? All you did was say, I'm sorry. You're not taking responsibility for what happened. If you fall down the stairs, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Your car was stolen? I'm sorry. I didn't steal it, but I'm sorry your car was stolen. Okay? It's just expressing a connection of caring. So learn to say, I'm sorry. That's a phrase you can use in all kinds of circumstances, even if the other person has trouble processing it. You go ahead and practice saying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And let me tell you, if you want a good marriage, you got to say I'm sorry a lot, okay? When you find the other person is upset about something, I mean, you've been out of the house and something bad happened at home, don't say, well, how did that happen? Or why did you? I'm sorry. I am so sorry that happened, okay? Well, you didn't, it's not your fault. Say, I know, honey, but I'm still sorry. Sorry that happened. Sorry you're hurting. Got it? Second phrase. If you realize that even just a part of this is your fault, then you need to identify what you know is wrong that you did and say, that was wrong of me. That's the second phrase. That was wrong of me. Now we're going to expand on that phrase. Because you need to say what it was that was wrong of you. That was wrong of me not to call you and let you know that I was running late. That was wrong of me not to do what I said I would do. Not to keep my commitment. that was wrong of me to insult you in that way. That was wrong of me to make an unfair comparison. Okay? My mother never had to deal with the stuff you're having to deal with. And so I'm really sorry. It was wrong of me to make that comparison. Whatever it is that you've done wrong, identify it. That, was wrong of me. Got it? That's the second phrase. Here's the third. Please forgive me. Now, I've been to some other marriage conferences where it turned out, and we were already doing this thing with the four key phrases years before I went to any of these, for decades. And then I went to a marriage conference and they had four key phrases. And I don't believe for a second that they got it from us, but I know I didn't get it from them. Apparently, we both got it from God. I just got it better. Because you know what they said the first phrase was? I'm sorry. You know what they said the second phrase was? That was wrong of me. You know what they said the third phrase was? Will you forgive me? That's not the right phrase. Okay? And I'll tell you why. When you say, please forgive me, you are humbly putting yourself in the position of a supplicant. Okay? You are wielding no power. You are simply asking for mercy. Please forgive me. When you say, will you forgive me? You are seizing power. Okay? You are trying to reassert control in the situation and manipulate that other person into going ahead and letting you off the hook right now. Okay? And I've heard several variations of it, not from my wife, thank God, but from other couples. When they are in that situation, they may have said, I'm sorry, it was wrong of me, da-da-da-da-da-da. And then they say, but now that I've admitted that, do you forgive me? Can we move on? I mean, is this over? Will you let it go? That is not the way to restore your relationship. That is a way to further wound somebody that you already hurt. So don't do that. Don't say that. Don't insist that the other person go ahead and forgive you right now. Come on. We're not going to leave here until we got this resolved. I have said I am sorry. I don't know what else you want me to do. I can't go back and undo it. And I'm telling you right now, I am sorry. Can you not tell I'm sorry? Okay? And I admit it. It was wrong. I own it. It's my fault. I admit it. But now, will you forgive me? I mean, you're a Christian. God commands you to forgive. So are you going to obey God right now? I mean, I want this resolved before we go to church. Okay? And I have to be there soon because I'm the preacher. I'm just telling you, I've seen this. It's horrible. Don't do that. Say, please forgive me. And you leave the timeline between them and God. Okay? And then the fourth thing, we're going to talk more about some of these. We're going through them right now. The fourth thing is this. I'm glad I'm married to you. When you do that unfair comparison thing, you not only need to apologize, you need to reaffirm the relationship with the person you're married to. I don't want to be married to my mom. I mean, my mom had many fine qualities, but I thank God that I wasn't married to her. My mother was a constant critic of my dad. Now, all four of my parents' kids turned into somewhat overachievers. Yes, including me. And one of the reasons, as one of my brothers remarked at my mom's graveside service, I think all of us have achieved much of what we have in life because we were trying to please mom. It's true. When I was a teenager, I said to my mom, if I make a C, I should have made a B. If I make a B, I should have made an A. If I make an A, you think I should have made an A+. And if I make an A+, you think I probably should have taken a harder course. It's true. Mom said, is that really the way you see me? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I'm sorry. She did not say that was wrong. I think what she meant was, I'm sorry, I didn't know you could tell it that clearly. One of the reasons my dad was able to be a pastor was my mom. She helped him in many, many ways. But one of the reasons my dad didn't make it to 60 as a pastor was because after every sermon, my mom had a suggestion. Honey, that was good, but next time, I mean, when you finish preaching, you're drained. And my wife's feedback when I speak is vitally important to me. And I want it to be positive. She is. I mean, isn't she beautiful? She sits there, she listens, she laughs, she smiles. It's great. She compliments me. She says to other people, I love hearing him. Oh, I love you, baby. That helps me keep going, okay? My mom just wanted to help make my dad and her kids and the world a better place, okay? She was always full of suggestions. I think, you know, it was really good, and the part you said about this, that was good, but I think you could have... Ah! Stop it! Okay? She might be right, and the next time she's invited to preach, she ought to keep that in mind. But when Dad's preaching, Dad needs encouragement, okay? You're married to someone who needs encouragement, just so you know. When you have wronged your spouse and you've said, I'm sorry, that was wrong of me, please forgive me, then you need to say something to rebuild the relationship. And so we use as an example, I'm glad I'm married to you. I'm glad I get to be your dad. I'm glad I get to work here. Thank you. I'm really glad for whatever you can say that is appropriate and true. Got it? Now let's go back and talk again about some of those phrases. First one was what?
Sorry.
When do you say that? All the time, okay? You need to be able to, and it's best if you're not laughing. I'm sorry. But if you could have seen yourself, not good. Self-control is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You got to learn that. Okay? Learn to say I'm sorry. Okay? Learn to say it freely and a lot and honestly. Again, it's an expression of caring about the other person. So when they are hurting, you're sorry. Is that biblical? Yes. Mourn with those who mourn. Weep with those who weep. Rejoice with those who rejoice. That's what Jesus said. So we need to do that. I'm sorry. Second phrase. Okay, don't forget that. You need to practice that. Now, as we said earlier, you want to be specific about what was wrong of you. What if this person accuses you of 20 things? You ever been in one of those conversations? Kind of a conversation, more of a monologue. But somebody's just reading you the riot act. You did this, you did this, you did this, and you're sitting there and you're thinking, that's not true, that's not true, that's not true, that's true. You know, right? Anybody been there?
Yeah.
I mean, in the midst of it, you're thinking, you know, golly, if we're going to play this game, I've got a list too. Don't pull out your list. Anything that you know was wrong of you, speak to that. You're right. It was wrong of me to do this. It was wrong of me to do this. It was wrong of me to not do that. My dad was a great, great man. And he was great at apologies. He and I would have an argument when I was a teenager. And I'd be sitting in my room feeling guilty and thinking I need to go apologize to him because I acted like a jerk. And there'd be a knock at the door and it was Dad. And he'd be choked up and he'd say, son, I want to ask you to forgive me. It was wrong of me, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I would say, oh, no, Dad, it was my fault. I'm sorry. You know? He'd say, no, I shouldn't have said this or I shouldn't have done that. He'd be right about that, but I'd think, you know, on a scale here, you're 10% wrong, I'm 90% wrong. Well, Dad wasn't apologizing for my 90. He was apologizing for his 10. Okay? And he didn't wait. He didn't say, well, it's mostly his fault. I'll wait until he comes see me and say, Well, okay, thank you, I accept that, but you know, it was also wrong of me to do this. No, he would beat me to the punch time after time after time. He was quick to seek forgiveness and reconciliation. So when you realize you've done something wrong, don't sit there and weigh it against what the other person's done wrong. You may feel like you're only 10% wrong, they're 90% wrong. You go ahead and apologize for your 10%. That was wrong of me. Do not turn this into, I know, I'm no good, I never do anything right, I just ought to die. That's not an apology, that's a lie. That's a lie from the pit of hell. You don't need to die, you need to die to self. Okay? And so just dumping on yourself, I can't do anything right, that's not true. Tell the truth. What did you do wrong? How many of you have heard somebody say, oh, you know, thank God for the cross, because I mean, we all are sinners. I sin thousands of times a day. I don't have time to sin thousands of times a day. Okay, I do sin in thought, word, and deed. I still have a sin problem I have to deal with every day. But I don't have time to sin that much. Okay? Why would a person say that? Is that humility? No, it is not wanting to deal with the real sin issues. I want to be able to get to the end of the day and just say, God, please forgive me for all my sins. Because that way I can commit them again tomorrow. Okay? What I don't want to do is get to the end of the day and have to go back over the day and say, Holy Spirit, please show me what I've done that is displeasing to you, because I don't want to live that way. And have God bring to mind, you should not have said this, you should not have done that. And realize I need to repent of those things. And if I repent of those things, I'm going to be less inclined to do them again the next day. Is that clear? So it's not humility that causes people to say they sin thousands of times a day. It is dishonesty and laziness. It's preferring our sin over truth. Don't do that. Tell the truth. And in dealing with your mate, don't say, I know I'm always wrong, I can never do anything right. Because you're waiting for your mate to say, no, that's not true. Okay? I wonder what would happen if you said to them, you're right. You know, you never do anything right. That's the one thing you do right, is you finally admitted that you never do anything right. Okay? Yeah, you would be better off dead. I'd be better off too. That's how to have a great marriage, right? Uh-uh. No way. No way. Let's tell the truth to each other. So when you've done something that is wrong and you recognize it, whatever it is, even if you feel the other person has done more wrong than you, you go ahead and speak to what you know you did that you shouldn't have done, or what you should have done and failed to do, and you say, I'm sorry. It was wrong of me not to do this. It was wrong of me to do this. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. I'm glad I'm married to you. Got it? And you might even say something about what you love about the person you're married to. I'm glad I'm married to you. God knew exactly what he was doing when he brought you into my life, and you've helped me in so many ways. I'm really grateful. Thanks for writing all my books. Those four phrases didn't come from me. Those are biblical truths. All right? God says that's how you show love for one another. You need to be able to be sorrowful with those who are sorrowful. You need to confess your sins to one another. That was wrong of me. You need to ask forgiveness when you've wronged someone. And you need to build one another up in the Lord. So you use those four key phrases, and I'm telling you, it'll make a world of difference. It's healing. And I want you to have that. And I want you to equip your kids with it. Because if they learn to do that growing up, it'll be much easier for them to do that with their spouse. Amen? Let's pray. Father, please take the word that has been shared and plant it deep in our hearts and cause us to live it out. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.com. pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.